Hi, it's Andrew here from the EG Way podcast with a quick note about this episode. We're talking about the Innovate Suffolk Hackathon, which was due to kick off at the end of March. Okay, so we recorded this episode of the EG Way before the situation with the coronavirus really started to change in the UK. As a result, we're talking about the event happening at the end of March, but it's not going to be happening at the end of March now because a lot of public spaces and conferences have decided it'd be better to postpone their events rather than hold them in the middle of a national health crisis. So, if you have bought tickets, don't worry, the event is definitely still 100% going ahead, just not at the end of March. And if you haven't bought tickets, then you've got more time to buy tickets and go to the workshops. None of the speakers have cancelled, none of the mentors have pulled out, all the sponsors are still involved, you will still get access to all of that great talent and meet all of those people and also have a great time at what is going to be Suffolk's best hackathon ever. It's just not going to be in a few weeks at the end of March. It's going to be later on. So watch this space and we will be making announcements about when the revised date comes up, when everyone's got a bit more understanding of what's going on regarding the situation with the coronavirus. Okay, great. That's enough of me. Let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the EG Way, and this is a special episode of the EG Way. Now, I do say every week it's a special episode, and in a way every week it is special, but this is actually special, because it's not just an EG Way, it is a preview of the forthcoming hackathon that's taking place on the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th of March, so just a couple of weeks away.
When is it?
It's on the 20th. It's... Oh, that's a podcast joke. And introducing Sam Parnell.
Hello.
Sam Parnell, who is business development at Strategic, the full-service marketing agency. Here is my Strategic drinky bottle. Thank you very much. It'll only be mine until I get home and the kids get it. It's quite hard to use, though, I'm going to say, because it's got a straw mechanism, is it? So if you put it in your mouth and turn it upside down... Nothing. Thank God Simon was here.
I should have brought some instructions with each one, really, shouldn't I?
You know what? You need instructions for a drinky bottle in Suffolk. That's just how it works. And thank you, though, the man who gave me the instructions for that, Mr. Cy Arnold from Innovate Suffolk. He's one of the founders and also from Fortis Recruit, the IT specialist. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. I was thirsty, but thanks to you, I've now had...
Here to help.
Yeah, thank you for that. Also joining us here, of course, is another co-founder of Innovate Suffolk, Chris Pont, CEO.
Hello.
EG. Yes, Chris Pont, obviously, you've heard him before on the EG Way. He's
many times.
He's a regular. He doesn't have a drinky bottle, though.
No, so I'm very disappointed.
Yeah. Also joining us, we have last year's winner. Drum roll, please. Joining us is Cara Thurkettle. Hello, Cara. And Cara is last year's winner. She is one half of Stress Bunny.
Yeah, the other half is Sean Plummer. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today, but he's here in spirit. So.
And also, Cara, you also work at Strategic, right?
Yeah, I'm an SEO executive at Strategic Marketing.
Also joining us is two other co-founders, in fact, of Innovate Suffolk, starting with Mr. Mark Thomas, who is the founder of Coderus, the Bluetooth and Internet of Things people.
Hi.
Hello, Mark, and you've been working, presumably, on some very boring projects to do with, like, you know, world yacht racing and stuff. And
oh, yeah, support the America's Cup team for Great Britain. We also work SailGB, which is also their team as well, and a local speaker brand of Bowers & Wilkins out of the UK. So we work on one or two products.
Bowers & Wilkins, as in the Apple's preferred, fabulous, super awesome brand.
Yes.
I'm a big Bowers & Wilkins fan, actually.
Excellent.
I've been thrown out of the Apple store many times for getting too close to them. And with us as well is Mr. Peter Basford. Of course, Peter is the founder of the Business Growth Coach Network here in Suffolk, but also Innovation Labs Stowmarket, and possibly, are we allowed to say possibly somewhere else as well?
Well, hopefully at some stage it'll expand further. So we've got about 15 members in Stowmarket at the moment, 21 desks, running events and coaching and support for the businesses. But It's really taken off quite strongly, and there's a will to do more of these around the region.
So we're all here and we're all talking about Innovate Suffolk and the hackathon. I'm Andrew Walker, by the way. I am delighted to say I'm going to be a mentor at the hackathon. Yes, don't look so surprised, Sam.
I'm excited now. I'm even more excited.
Wow, it all comes out now. I'm looking forward to it because I am a freelance writer and I do podcasting, things like that. But back in the day when dinosaurs ruled the earth, I did work in a couple of successful tech startups doing really stuff at the time that seemed remarkably silly. And so I'm looking forward to things that people think will never catch on at the hackathon, because normally it's the things that never catch on that do. They said that about this podcast.
So, I mean, start first with how the hackathon started. I guess it came from a frustration in Suffolk with a number of people that I knew through either working with them from a recruitment perspective or meeting them at some of the local kind of networking groups, that Suffolk had this reputation that nothing really cool happened here, that actually there wasn't really much of a technology ecosystem. And there was quite a few people that disagreed with that narrative and actually thought the problem we've got in Suffolk actually isn't that there's not cool stuff going on, it's just we're really bad at self-promotion, we're a bit too modest. And we wanted to tackle that and look at ways we could maybe get people who wouldn't normally know about technology locally to kind of stand up and pay attention and get involved and see what a great, rich, vibrant ecosystem we've got locally and some of the novel ideas that are really getting pushed out. And how can we create a platform to kind of share that success with not just Suffolk, but the rest of the UK? And we decided that a really good platform for that would be the hackathon platform. You can get some of the great minds of Suffolk in a room, give them some interesting problems to tackle, and then see what solutions come out over the space of a weekend.
Now, just to sort of dive in there, I realise we've fired off into it. But Chris, tell us, for those people who might not know or who have never been to one, what is a hackathon?
So a hackathon, you can either turn up with an idea or you can turn up and look to join a team. And the idea is that those ideas are pitched. It's generally based around a given theme. So the last hackathon was around mental health. And from there, it's 48 hours to create something. Last year, there was pitches going on all the time. So, you know, every 6 or 12 hours, there was a pitch to a group of mentors. There's a whole group of mentors that help throughout the weekend that help the teams with everything from UI design to coding itself to product ideas and business ideas, how they might monetize what they're doing.
Sam, you're no stranger to startups yourself, so tell us, how did Strategic get involved?
We were a sponsor last year, which was amazing, and obviously we're really then privileged to have one of our, everyone was encouraged to attend, and one of our fine people won, and so it's been really exciting watching not just, obviously, I mean, we've all been knocking around and have been running, I co-host Sync Ipswich, and also ran Sims back in the day, so we've watched hackathons for a really long time, and it's not always common for companies that spin out from hackathons to become something, but we've watched Stress Buddy from last year really turned into a tangible product. With Strategic support, with Coderus' support. It's been absolutely incredible. So we were really keen to get involved again this year. It's very much, as Si said, it was a bootstrap last year. I think everyone was kind of testing the water to see what we could make. We Suffolk, if we do anything well, we do people and collaboration. We're all lovely and, it's a great event. So we're very keen to see the same happen this year.
And I think it's worth saying that last year's event went better than we could have ever dreamed, really. We had a much better turn up. People were getting involved, there was interviews going on Radio Suffolk, you know, there was a real buzz around it, so, you know, that was incredibly successful.
Now, I'm just going to say, if you do hear sirens and things going off in the background, this is live and exciting. They're not just coming for me and the lame gags. Maybe they should. Unless is that what you were doing on your phone just now? It's like, help me.
Evidence.
I'm trapped in a podcast. Kara Thurkettle, so you're a winner, right? So you're basically the only person here really who's achieved anything.
So true.
Okay, so tell us about winning. Tell us about Stress Buddy.
Okay, so, oh gosh, where do I start? Stress Buddy is essentially a mental health app that helps you identify triggers that might be causing negative responses to things surrounding you. So say you're having panic attacks a lot or different things, our app essentially helps you understand why you might be having a panic attack, so what's triggering that response. It also gives you access to loads of different coping mechanisms. Most apps out there only utilize maybe one or two or three different types of coping mechanisms. But with people with complex mental health conditions, that's not necessarily the most beneficial option. So we essentially want to have like a coping mechanism toolbox where we're utilizing loads. So we started development 2 weeks ago, so it's still moving, but it's been a great experience. Just an idea that I came with to the event last year, now it's actually got legs and it's something, is kind of amazing, because I didn't anticipate that it would actually, you know, become an app. So
okay, so tell us more about winning. Hot tips, especially for people who are going to be going. What's the secret sauce? What's the secret of your success?
So I think that the most successful teams are going to be teams that have a developer, a designer, and a creative person, and maybe someone who's got a bit of a business background. The reason being is those having four different types of people means that you're going to be in your best position to really answer the kinds of questions that the judges are going to be asking you. And I think each of those people has different skills and expertise that to bring to the table. So a designer, be able to kind of the audience experience, the user experience, be able to kind of map out, you know, that audience user case. A business person will probably be saying, oh, how are we going to monetize it? How do we make this an actual business? How will it launch? A developer, obviously creating the product, and you know, a marketer or creative might be like, okay, what are those extra things that we can do? What kind of research should we conduct? Should we go out? Should we survey people? So I think the teams that come to the table with a variety of expertise in their team are going to be the best place to win. In addition to that, I think if teams want to win and they already have an idea, a pretty solid idea and a pretty solid team, which I'm betting this time around there will be a lot more teams that come to the table with more prepared ideas, have a lot of background research to support what you're saying, because if you're trying to promote an idea and it's already been done before, you need to be able to say how your idea is different than what other people have proposed. So
I think another thing which I remember from last year, which set you separate from everybody else there working, was your openness to actually go off and try different things and kind of be pushed outside of your comfort zone with that. Because there was one thing which you would, you know, go out during the lunchtime session?
We went out and we started interviewing people live on the street, and we had some amazing responses, because at first we had a hypothesis of the experience that people were having with the NHS, and we went out and we were like, okay, let's see what other people are saying. And it was a really kind of moving experience to hear these background stories, and it just, you know, I think that and the emotional connection we were able to make in our presentation kind of enhance the whole experience.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things in the hackathon was, and one of the things that really set Stressbear and a couple of other teams apart actually, was the fact that they had a plan, they were willing to flex on the plan, but then they still delivered something.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the challenge is when you're in some of these hackathon environments, you keep getting different ideas come across, and your plan can evolve over a weekend. And there was a few instances where you had people actually who were still at planning phase by day two. And it's knowing when to stop and go, right, we need to just get things done now. What's our MVP? And that was one of the things that I think Stress Buddy did really, really well, is he took on feedback, pivoted, changed, but still actually developed a kind of minimal viable product.
And I think that's all just highlighted that a lot of people assume you have to be a developer to go to a hackathon, whereas, you know, what we've just spoken about, you have all those different roles that are involved in developing a successful product. So you don't just have to be a developer, you can be a marketer, a product designer, a manager, you know, whatever.
And this year's topics, we've got agriculture and the outdoors. So any PT or anyone working in agriculture who's keen to look at how technology can influence their sector would be a great addition, because actually industry knowledge is one bit that we'll all need when it comes to whatever questions we're answering.
Well, the question I wanted to ask Peter actually is, you know, in terms of coaching people with business growth and also working in a sort of co-working innovation lab space, presumably you see the sort of highs and lows people go through on the business journey. And is that a bit like the hackathon? I mean, there must be high points and low points in your hackathon journey, right?
Yes, in the sort of 48 hours, you see people going through that ups and downs as they think they've got something. Then they'll get some more information and pivot and go, oh, it's not quite what we thought it was. And then they'll take on new energy and go again. Then it might, again, that might be something that gets in the way and it's not, and then you pivot again. So I suppose it's much more intense over a short period of time than perhaps something that would take 2-3 months for a startup business.
So what's your advice for that? In fact, I want everyone's advice for that. So, I mean, what would be your advice for you? You arrive at the hackathon, you've got a great idea. I've been in similar situations myself where I thought I had a great idea and it turns out it was rubbish. So what's your advice for not falling out with your teammates and actually getting it over the line, getting to the end?
There's that realization that, you know, even running a business, you have that initial high and then you get into that trough of disillusionment. All of that happens over 48 hours through a hackathon. You know, you're going to get that initial high and then, you know, maybe have to pivot a bit. Maybe things aren't quite going according to plan. So don't let that put you off. Make sure that you carry some of that enthusiasm and momentum.
I think setting goals and expectations at the very beginning is very beneficial as well. Like Sean and I, from right at front, we said, this is what we agree on, this is what we don't agree on, this is what we need more information. And we set out, I was going to do X amount of research on this specific thing. Sean was going to do this research and he was going to do this speaking part of the presentation. I think if you delegate roles very early on and, like I said, use everybody's expertise and set goals for yourselves and have, you know, use those chunks of time, say day one, this is what we're doing. Day two, this is what we're doing. Day three, this is what we're doing. And we need to be done by this time, and make sure you rehearse and you have your pitch in the amount of time that you have to have it. Is it 5 minutes this time?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of teams went over the amount of time because they didn't rehearse their pitch enough.
Yep, all businesses have highs and lows along the way. The hackathon is much tighter in terms of time for that to happen. But actually fail, learn, and fail again, and learn again is a much better way of going. I mean, America culturally is very different, but they hope that people fail and they expect 80% failure. Whereas here it's a bit, oh, that's a bit of a word. We can't talk about failure. Actually, it's really good.
All right, so pro tips, and bearing in mind this year's theme, as we sort of hinted at already, it was very exciting, is agriculture and tech, agribusiness. I want to turn to Mark for a minute, because presumably when you are putting together combinations of wearable devices and mobile signals, GPS stuff that's got to fit together with a team who are potentially, you know, upside down in the Southern Ocean or something like that, I'm guessing, I mean, hopefully not.
I was going to say, if our software has done that, I'm sure I'm going to get a phone call from Ben.
Yeah, that's if it was Microsoft, you know, it'd be like, hang on a second, your boat is updating.
Make sure you close all windows.
Okay, fine. No, actually, you're definitely getting my drinking bottle for that, man. That's awesome. So, Mark, I want to ask, so how do you go, what would be your advice of prototyping? What should it look like? How basic can you get? Is like a series of storyboards enough? Or you need something you can click on, presumably? How much is too much? What's the right level of getting a prototype right to explain it to the judges?
I would say, first of all, is kind of work out what your solution is going to do. You know, user performers, or the, like I do, well, you know, work out, you know, who you're delivering it, and then start building out from there. When you're building your minimum viable product, you know, remember that's what it is. Because lots of people say, I'm building my MVP, and then they threw everything into it. You know, just boil it down to the most basic things that you need. And don't worry if it looks ugly. If it performs the action that you need to do, that's great, because that's what you should be focusing on, especially for something like this. It's like, build a solution which will work. And then, you know, if you win, and I'm sure even some of the other ideas which will come across the weekend may even kind of go out. It's not about winning, it's about kind of building those solutions out. And, you know, you can optimize them later and kind of make them pretty.
Yeah, I mean, but it's all, well, it's not just about winning. It's also the experience of the weekend of the thought process? Like, it's quite challenging having to go through the highs and lows concept, mapping out the concept, working with other people. So actually just be there to experience it and see if you can challenge yourself to work in a team in that way, I think is quite a reasonable way to set expectations going into it. Just literally suspend belief at the door, go in there and just give it your best, come away from it and experience it.
There is a prize. Okay, this year things have changed though, right? Because it's more than just money.
It is, yeah. I mean, sorry, Cara. The prize this year is so much better. So again, for us, it was about creating something meaningful out of the weekend that can continue and support. And we thought about that and we looked at what StressBody had done with amazing success and progress they made with their app. And we thought, how can we empower that and support them more? What partnerships do we need to form? So my business, Fortis Recruit, will be putting up £500, the same as last year, cash. But the wonderful people at Innovation Martlesham, who run a really good incubator there, have offered to the winners of this year free access to their and fast track access to their incubator. So that's 18 months worth of support, which can include office space, mentorship programs, access to finance.
And this is at Martlesham, where of course BT have got their innovation labs. There's a whole bunch of startups based around them.
Yeah, it's a cluster there of over, I think it's over 140 small tech businesses. Oh, so I say small tech businesses, ranging from seed funded startups to Series C funded. Several hundred million turnover businesses there. So it's a real rich and vibrant ecosystem. And then alongside that as well, we've partnered with the Suffolk Agricultural Association, because obviously the theme is agri-tech in the outdoors, and Suffolk County Council to get a pitch and stand at the Suffolk Show this year, where we can show off the winners of this year, and then also some more of the technology ecosystem locally at the Suffolk Show. Because what better place to celebrate technology in Suffolk than the premier show in Suffolk? When you think about our objective, which is to get tech out of just the tech industry sector and out into the general populace, so people understand what goes on locally, so they can promote it. Suffolk Show isn't a technology show. It was traditionally an agriculture and farming show that now involves technology, involves Suffolk Skills, the Army. There's lots of different people showcasing there. So if we can get technology on the map there and the kinds of people that are coming there, it's a real opportunity for us to kind of inspire people and show what's possible in our county, and shine a spotlight on some of the great minds we've got and great ideas that we've got happening right here in little old Suffolk.
Sadly, we do have to start tying it up there. What I want to do is ask everybody your final thoughts, final words. Is there any room left? Can people still get involved? Can they just come along and hang out and meet people and attend the workshops as well as take part in the hackathon? And what anything else that they need to know what we haven't covered yet?
Yes, we're still accepting people. If they want to get a ticket, they can go to our website, www.innovatesuffolk.co.uk, and there is a link to Eventbrite where you can get a ticket. The ticket includes access to the mentors, the workshops, private working spaces, fast Wi-Fi, all your food for the weekend, and a lot of coffee, all included. £45 plus booking fee.
£45. And this is for a 3-day event with high-profile tech mentors and me, but, you know, mostly high-profile tech mentors, plus all the people in this room, plus, obviously, access to the likes of EG and Coderus and some of the players here, and a business growth network, which would probably be really useful, I'd imagine, if you're trying to start an app business. And, of course, top agencies, and food and coffee.
The challenge this year is the outdoors and agriculture. So it means we've got a couple of very specific challenges provided by some amazing sponsors, Strategic, who are in the room, whose challenge is surrounding getting a team up and about and getting them more active outdoors. And then we've got Agent 3, another amazing local tech business, who presented the challenge, how can we encourage people to grow more of their own produce at home? And then there's the open category, which is the Innovate Suffolk category, which is anything you could think of. So you might want to survey cows with drones, or you might want to make a dog walking app, or you might want to look at ways that you could use LoRaWAN networks to monitor butterflies on farms. We don't mind. We just want to hear the crazier, almost the better.
Cara, what's your advice?
Try and get your employer to sponsor you, because R&D and training and stuff is tax deductible, and Andy at Strategic actually sponsored me last year, Coderus sponsored Sean, and that's how we were both able to attend, and it was an amazing experience. So if you can't afford it, get your employer to sponsor you.
Sam?
Well worth it. my main advice would be, I think even if you can't afford it, it's really worth it. Those three workshops alone, I think, are worth their weight in gold. Access to these individuals could be career changing. So I think, you know, come along, come with an open mind, just see what you can do. And even if you just sat and observed, I think you just absorb information and meet interesting people.
I would say don't just come if you think you're interested in tech. One of the people that added a lot of value last time was actually a nurse. Who didn't have a tech background at all, but her information helped a number of the teams. So don't just limit coming to this if you're a developer. Just come along if you're interested in making things better for everybody.
Okay, and Mark, what do you think?
I was going to say, I just reiterated everything what everybody's just said. I think it was just fabulous kind of a point, and they kind of taken all the words out of my mouth.
All right, Chris, your advice?
Yeah, Sam nicked most of my bits, but yeah, come with an open mind, meet some new people, take away some value, learn something new, drink lots of coffee.
Well, one last thing just to mention as well on the ticket prices, if you do want to come and the financial aspect is an issue, feel free to contact me directly, because I do have a number of corporate sponsorship opportunities, but I've got businesses who are interested actually in sponsoring people outside of their organisation.
Contact Simon at fortisrecruit.co.uk if you can't afford it, but you want to see if you can get a corporate sponsor. There's lots of companies here. There's over 150 companies working in tech in Suffolk, and at least some of them are going to be interested. Okay, so one thing we haven't mentioned is an old friend of the EG Way, Matthew Applegate from the Creative Computing Club. He is also involved, and there is a Junior Hack Prize. Mark, tell us more.
Yep, we have the Junior Hack, as you mentioned. That's being run by Creative Computing Club, and Matt is going to be bringing along his club. There will be a whole bunch of his, 6-year-olds, you know, from the club, you know, coming along. They'll be there on the opening night. They're going to kind of listen, and basically, I imagine they're going to rock, because I'm highly involved with them being a patron of the Creative Computing Club with them. So there was a real great energy there, and we're really looking forward to see what they do over the weekend. And they probably will shake up quite a lot of the teams when they present on Sunday.
Definitely. Matt Applegate was part of Rewired State, the OG when it came to hackathons. So I really am excited to see what they come up with, because
they've been practicing. Matt's been running a course already, and he's already got some of the kit. He's going to be prepared.
Yeah. Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Right?
Yes. he likes to win very much.
But I mean, they'll be there on the opening night. They'll go back to Creative Computing Club HQ, which is a bit like kind of the Batcave on London Road in Ipswich.
They've got some crazy stuff there. They've got rockets, they've got high altitude balloons, they've got all sorts.
But they'll go away and develop in their own space for the weekend, but then they'll come back for final judging, and they will be pitching ideas.
Okay, so that's it. You are up. You're really up against it, you know.
Yeah.
Now, so
just no pressure. You've got to just beat the 6-year-olds who are going to come and be amazing.
You know what? Beating 6-year-olds is something. If you've got young children, please don't write in. We are, of course, talking about healthy competition.
Yes,
not,
obviously.
Corporal punishment. Because you don't get that at EG. Possibly at Strategic, but not.
No, corporal punishment at Strategic.
All that remains to say is we will see you on the. Everyone's laughing because I've done this about 50 times now. Okay, all that remains to say is we will see you on the 27th, the 28th, and the 29th at the University of Suffolk in the atrium or in the IWIC. And we are looking forward to seeing you all at the hackathon. So come with your ideas and be ready to hack. And that's bye-bye from the EG Way. Bye-bye. Can we all wave at the camera? Because it's like a lame sort of podcast stunt we do. We're not really doing it. Or are we? Come on, check us on the feed. You'll find us at EG Limited. That's on Twitter at EG Limited. And you'll also find us at EG.com. Goodbye.
Bye.